This week's Haftorah is Yeshayo, Perek Memtes. So once again, if you have a Chumash with the Haftorah, certainly might make it easier just to follow along for the Pesukim that we'll be discussing. It is a somewhat lengthy Haftorah, so I won't attempt to get through every Pasuk, but touch upon a number of themes which I think are important and meaningful to hear and to think about. So first, the Haftorah begins with a description of Tzion, identified by some as Beis HaMikdash, expressing concern as to what has happened to the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we look at the very, very opening psukim. This is in Yeshayahu Perek Mem Tes, Pasuk Yedalid. So the Navi begins with Vatomer Tzion Azovani Hashem V'Hashem Shechani. Tzion expresses this concern, this very, very deep-rooted fear that God has abandoned me and God has forgotten me. So Gamliel Ben Avitz notes the two terms expressed in this pasuk, Aziva and Shikha, Azavani and Shechani. Azavani means Tzion looks around at Golus, at Churban, at desolation, at destruction, and it seems quite clear that God has left. Shechina has departed. God has abandoned Klal Yisrael and left us to the mercy of the enemy. But worse yet is the possibility of Hashem Shechani. Shechani implies not only an abandonment that might be temporary, but Shechani implies a permanent cessation of the relationship, a complete forgetfulness. And that's obviously a far greater fear of Tzion, not just Azavani, but also permanent, definitive Shikha, a termination of the relationship. And much as we spoke about in the introduction to our kinos on Tisha B'Av, that when it comes to the Avelos of Tisha B'Av, the goal is to try and rekindle the perhaps slowly dying yet still glowing ember of memory of that relationship we once enjoyed, implying that there's never a full permanent shikha and forgetfulness. There's perhaps distance, but there's always the ability to rekindle the relationship. And by saying that God has forgotten me, Tzion is expressing that fear, that that relationship has been severed. That's the greatest fear of Tzion. And in response, Kadosh Baruch Hu reassures Tzion. And in Pasuk Tesvav, the Navi says, Hasishkach isha ula merachem ben bitna. Is it conceivable that a mother should forget her baby and should fail to have compassion upon Ben Bitna, the recently born infant? It's not conceivable that that should be possible, implying that this is a relationship. HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael is one of a mother and child. We are so dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has that innate ahava, as it were, that he would never abandon us and forget us. And then the Navi adds, Gam Eila Tishkachna, and even if it were possibly true that a mother could abandon her newborn infant, V'anochi lo eshkachech, but I, says the Kadosh Baruch Hu, reassuring Tzion, reassuring Klal Yisrael, because of my abundance of ahava for you, I will never forget you. The Navi doesn't say lo ezveich, it says lo eshkachech, meaning there are temporary instances of Hester Panim, as we would call it. Kadosh Baruch Hu leaves us to the forces of nature of the enemy when, due to our sins, there has been distance created. But lo eshkachech, even when there is galus, even when there are tsaros, there is never a forgetfulness. There is never a cessation of that connection, of that relationship. Kadosh Baruch Hu always remembers, always remembers Klal Yisrael. Then, beautifully, the Navi says, the Kadosh Baruch Hu reassures us, Hein al kapayim chakosich, I have carved you into my, kiviyochol, my hands. In other words, there is always the memory of Klal Yisrael in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu at all times. The Rav Gamliel explains this is that the hands symbolize that which you act with, that which you do things with. Meaning what the Navi is saying is that even when HaKadosh Baruch Hu does something that to us appears to be as if we've been forgotten, to us it appears to be difficult to comprehend. How? Why? The Navi is reassuring us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, even my kapayim, that which I do, chakosich, your image, your name is engraved on my hands. Everything I do is with Klal Yisrael in mind, whether we appreciate it or not. Hein al kapayim chakosich, chomosayich negdi tamid. Now, on the one hand, this might mean chomosayich negdi tamid, that your walls, the city walls, the destroyed walls, perhaps the walls of the Mikdash, the walls of Yerushalayim, the walls that have fallen are in front of me always, said HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I have not forgotten you. I have not forgotten what has happened to you. That would seem to be one interpretation. That's how Rav Gamliel explains it, that the Chomosayich, the destroyed walls of the city, are in front of me at all times. One interpretation. And again, according to this interpretation, the entire pasuk is one of HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembering us not to worry, not to be afraid. That's how Radak also explains it. The destroyed walls, I see them constantly. An interesting interpretation suggested by the Malbim in his Sefer Eretz Chemda, quoted by Sefer Mishpatos Zahav, is a bit of a different read. Heina kapayim chakosich. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I have carved your image. I've engraved your image into my hands. I want that connection to be as close as possible. And yet, chomosayach, your walls, the barriers that you've erected, negdi tamid, that's in the way. That's between us. The chomos, the walls that Klal Yisrael are responsible for because of the chait and the averos that we've committed, that's what's getting in the way. As far as I'm concerned, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, al kapayim chakosich, I've engraved you into my hands, so to speak, but it's chomosayach, it's your walls, it's your barriers. Do you really want that connection? That's the question now being posed to us. That's what's in the way, negdi tamid. The Gemara in Tainus writes that Klal Yisrael asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, citing a pasuk, Simeni kachosam al libecha, kachosam al zroecha. The pasuk, not in this Navi, the pasuk indicates that Kadosh Baruch Hu is asked by Klal Yisrael, place me, says Klal Yisrael, the Navi, the Gemara in the Tainus Daf Dalet explains, as a engraving on your heart, on your arm. And Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you, Klal Yisrael, are asking me to do something which is sometimes visible, sometimes not. The heart is covered. The arm is covered. So why, the Gemara in Tainus Daf Dalet says, the Kadosh Baruch Hu asks us, why do you ask of me that you want to be kachosam al libecha, kachosam al zruecha? That's sometimes visible, sometimes not. Rather, says the Kadosh Baruch Hu, aval ani e'eseh l'cha davar shenira la'olam. I want that connection, relationship to be visible at all times. Heina kapayim chakosich. That's the pshat in this pasuk. I want you on the palms of my hand, always visible, never covered. It's almost as if, you know, sometimes when we're amongst our own, we're in shul, we're in from neighborhoods, we're very proud of our yarmulke, of our tzitzis, of our Jewish look. And then there are times when sometimes we're a little less comfortable in our skin. Sometimes we try to hide a little bit our affiliations, religious affiliations, the pride that we would otherwise demonstrate in who we are. The chasam, the simeni kachosam alibecha implies sometimes nearer, sometimes not nearer. Sometimes visible, sometimes not. Kadosh Baruch Hu says that's not the way it should be. It should be always visible. It should be that always a proud Jew, regardless of which circles you find yourself in, regardless of what context you find yourself in. Always proud. You know, we have that challenge often, and this is just maybe one of the most common scenarios. You know, I'm in a very, very non-Jewish community, Jewish neighborhood, in the airport, and I have to put on my talis and tefillin and daven. You know, it's not so easy to do so, smack in the middle of the terminal when everyone's gawking at you, staring at you, and you know, you feel a little uneasy. But sometimes we therefore have that hesitation of, I'm proud, I want to wear that symbol of my religious affiliation, but pa'amim nir, pa'amim enonir. Sometimes I'd rather be a little less visible. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, I want to always be visible. Al-kapayim chakosich. It should always be that which we're proud of. Never sometimes visible, sometimes not. Always, always proud. Now, of course, that means that we always have to act in a way that will make HaKadosh Baruch Hu proud. That's also the challenge. And we're always visibly Jewish, so we have to always act in a way that is Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. We can't hide our affiliations just to act in a way that is going to cast us in a negative light. That's perhaps part of the point. It should always be Dover Shanira La'olam, says Gemara in Tainas Daf Dalet. Always visible. This is a Jew. This is a Jew. And he acts like a Jew always because he's visibly a Jew. Next pasuk in the Navi Naftora, pasuk Yed Zayin, Miharu Banayach. Miharu Banayach. Rashi says this means that your children have rushed to return. Once again, this is the Navi Yeshaya, Shivat Nechemta, speaking about the Shivas Tzion, the return from Galus. Klal Yisrael is rushing to return. Miharsayach umachrivayach mimeich yetzeu. Those that have destroyed you will leave you. Pashup Shad here, Mefarshim explain, is that when it comes time for Galus, for Shivas Tzion, those sinners amongst us will be no longer. Those who have been the cause of Chorban will quickly leave when this time comes. They will leave us. There is a perhaps well-known interpretation of this pasuk. I'm not sure if it's meant more tongue-in-cheek, v'derech ha-musar, but you sometimes hear this phrase quoted, Meharsayach umachrivayach mimeich yetzeu. And who sometimes are, I don't want to say the worst antagonists or enemies that we have, but sometimes who are the ones that are side by side or at the forefront, sometimes undermining our cause, our safety, our values. Sometimes it's those who come from us, our own ranks. Meharsayach umachrivayach mimeich yetzeu. Who is it sometimes who leads the charge against us, whether it be in terms of those causes and values that are so antithetical to Torah, whether it's, sadly, other destructive efforts against Klal Yisrael? It's Mimech Yetzeu. Sometimes it's our own, not sure if you should call them sour grapes, but our own product that sometimes turns against us and that seeks to be amongst Meharsayach Umachrivayach. That's what some sometimes quote this phrase, or sometimes hear this phrase quoted in that context. Meharsayach umachrivayach mimeich yetzeu. That those who seek to harm us, destroy us, undermine us, come from our own ranks. But the pashup shad is that those who sinned, who were the cause of Chorban, they will leave at this time from us when Shivas Tzion comes, when we rush to return to Eretz Yisrael. And the Navi then, it seems, urges Tzion to look almost in disbelief. Si'isav ebeinayich, ri, look around and see. Kulam nikbetsu va'olach. They have all returned. They've all returned. Chai anin umashem ki kulam ka'adisol bashi usekashrim ka'kala. Look and see how they are all returning, and I swear, I promise you that you will be proudly wearing, adorned with all of them, like a bride with her adornments. So all of Klal Yisrael will return, your children will come back, rushing back to Tzion, and you will proudly be adorned with all of them. And then, Pasuk Yutess, that which was your ruins, your desolation, the land of destruction. We know that the Navi, the Torah in Parashas Bichukos and the Tocha speaks of Vashimos and Yasaret. The land will be desolate for so many millennia, so many centuries through Galus. So all of that desolation, all of those ruins, what's going to happen now? Kiata Tetzri Miyoshev. Now you that land that was once desolate, empty, abandoned, ruined, now Tetzri Miyoshev. Now you will be so crowded, so pressed together. That's Tetzri Miyoshev, because of the abundance of residents that will have returned to Eretz Yisrael. V'rachakum eval ayach. That's a phrase, by the way, in Chadodi. V'rachakum eval ayach. Came from this pasuk. V'rachakum eval ayach. All those who seek to swallow you, to do you harm, will be distanced from you. Right here in this pasuk. Now, Rashi on this pasuk in Yates, on that phrase where the Navi promises Tzion that you've been so desolate, so abandoned, and now, when we speak of Shivas Tzion, Tetzri Miyoshev, you'll be so compressed from the abundance of those that have come to settle in you. Once again, this pasuk struck me. It's so remarkable to see the nevuos that today are just so obviously apparent. You look at the news in Eretz Yisrael, there's endless reports of the real estate just being insufficient. There's just not enough place for people to purchase, to live in Eretz Yisrael. I just took a quick look. There was a book published about 6 years ago by Alon Tal entitled The Land is Full, Addressing Overpopulation in Israel. You can buy that on Amazon. I haven't bought it. I'm not sure if I recommend it or not, but it's there. A whole book, The Land is Full, Addressing Overpopulation in Israel. In more recent Jerusalem Post reports, Israel is the second most expensive country in the world to buy a house. Second most expensive country in the world per square meter. Dollar per square meter. Second most expensive country in the world. Another report, I think it was recently, Jerusalem Post. Home prices rose 346%. It's like more than three and a half times. They've tripled, more than tripled in the past decade. Fastest surge in real estate prices in the world. This is unbelievable. You read the pasuk here. Chorvosayich, your ruins. Shoma Masayich, your desolation. Eretz Yisroel, the land of destruction. Ki'atot Tetzri Miyoshev. You'll be so compressed. You'll have no place to settle because there's so many residents there. Is that not what is happening right now? Everywhere you look in Eretz Yisrael, it's beyond remarkable. So we're living through this nevuah coming to life. Quite remarkable. The next pasuk. Again, a reiteration of the same theme. Od yomru be'oznayach. They will say in your ears, B'nei shikulayach, all those children of yours who you had been bereft of for so long, Tsali hamakom, I have no place. It's too crowded here. Geshali ve'esheva. Move over so I can find a place to sit. Overcrowding. There's no room. Compressed. Packed. Remarkable. I saw Kor Mishpat Zav, a fascinating question. This phrase, Tsar li hamakom, describing how in Eretz Yisrael, people are going to say, there's no room here, move over, make some space. That exact phrase, Tsar li hamakom, is a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Parakeh. What does the Mishnah say there? Parakeh, it says, one of the Asar Nisim, 10 miracles of the Beis HaMikdash, or of Yerushalayim, was V'lo Amar Adam L'Chaveiro Tzali HaMakom Sha'alin B'Yerushalayim. No one ever said, oh, there's no room here for me to stay in Yerushalayim. Lo Amar Adam L'Chaveiro Tzali HaMakom Sha'alin B'Yerushalayim. Is that not a direct contradiction to this Pasuk here in Navi, which predicts that is exactly what will happen? So, it's a fascinating question. It seems like almost an obvious contradiction. The Mishnah is in Parakeh, Pirkei Avos. It was Asar Nisim, Nasu Lavosein B'Veis HaMikdash. The Mishnah begins with the 10 Nisim that were always present in the Veis HaMikdash. And the very end of the Mishnah is V'lo Amar Adam L'Chaveiro Tzali HaMakom Sha'alim B'Yerushalayim. No one ever said, there's no room here for me to stay over in Yerushalayim. So how does one reconcile these two seemingly contradictory sources? I guess one could offer different interpretations. But the source that I saw quoted in Mishpat Zav is a Chasam Sofer. He suggests that perhaps it all depends on the extent to which Klal Yisrael is osin ratzono shel makom. Perhaps the Mishnah of us is referring to when everyone is osin ratzono shel makom. Klal Yisrael is wholeheartedly, completely in observance of Torah and mitzvos. Okay? So maybe then, when everyone is completely in observance of Torah mitzvos, then the Mishnah says, promises us that lo amar adam me'olam tzali amakam sh'olam b'shalayim. No one ever complained there's no space in Yerushalayim. The Nabi, though, perhaps, talking about Shivas Tzion, maybe is saying that at a time when not everyone is just yet really at that madriga where they should be, which one could certainly say is true today. There's no question today that not everyone, sadly, is where they should be in Eretz Yisrael, religiously speaking. So if not everyone is on that madriga where they should be, maybe then we have this welcome challenge, we'll call it, of Tzali Hamakom Gishali Ve'esheva. Okay, so perhaps the response to the real estate crisis in Eretz Yisrael is to be Chozer B'Shuva, start a mass successful tshuva movement, or jump on board one of the already existing ones and make them even more successful. That will solve the real estate crisis. Once everyone is Osen Son of Shalmakom, then we won't have this problem of Tzali Hamakom in Yerushalayim or in Eretz Yisrael. Okay. Fascinating nevuah. Then the Navi describes in Pasuk Klaf Aleph, the Amart Bil Vaveich, and you'll say to yourself, actually, let me first, one more comment on this last Pasuk, also fascinating, fascinating comments. The Pasuk that we saw just a few moments ago, of Marasayich Umachrivayich Mimeich Yetzeyu, that those that destroy you will have emerged from you. So one more thought to add to that. Very fascinating idea. The Gemara in Tainus Daf Chav Ches tells us that on one occasion, the Malchus HaRashah, the Roman Empire, decreed that Klal Yisrael could no longer bring wood to the Mizbeach. This was Gemara in Tainus, Chav Ches Amud Aleph. And the Gemara says that the Romans decreed they could no longer bring wood to burn in the Mizbeach, and they even established Prus Daos, Ahadrachim, sentries along the road. And the Gemara says, Kederach Shehoshiv Yeravam Benevat Al Hadrachim Shalo Yalu Yisrael Regel. Same way, Yeravam Benevat, way back when, during the first Beis HaMikdash, early on, established guards on the road to prevent Jews from being Ola Regel. So too, now, hundreds and hundreds of years later, during Bayis Sheni, the Malchus HaRashah, the Gemara says, the Roman government set up guards along the road to stop the Jews from bringing wood to the Mizbeach. So the question asked in that Gemara is somewhat obvious. You need to conjure up an image of Yeravam ben Nevat, what he did centuries and centuries earlier, posting guards on the road to stop Jews from being Ola Regel, to describe what the Romans did hundreds of years later to stop the Jews from bringing wood to the Mizbeach. Why is that an accurate or necessary depiction or a comparison? So the Ben Ishchai in the Sefer Ben Yehoyada writes as follows. He says, why does the Gemara have to bring as an example Yeravam ben Nevat's guards on the road? So he cites this pasuk, Meharsayich u'machrivayich mimeich yetzeyu. Meaning, what the Gemara is hinting to, he suggests, is that you want to know how it was possible for the Romans to put an end to the practice of bringing wood to the Mizbeach? After all, isn't that such a significant mitzvah? One would think that the zchus of fulfilling that mitzvah should ensure their success in doing so. How is it possible that they were able to stop the performance of that mitzvah? Says Ben Ishchai, that's pshat in the Gemara. The Gemara, in saying, just like Yeravam put guards on the road to stop Jews from being Ola Regel, that's how the Romans put guards on the road to stop Jews from bringing wood to the Mizbeach. What the Gemara is saying, says Ben Ishchai, is the reason why the Romans were capable of doing that, and the reason the mitzvah didn't, on its own, enable the Jews to continue fulfilling such a great mitzvah, is because it was Yeravam ben Nevat's fault. Had he not caused Klal Yisrael to stop being Ola Regel, the Romans would not have stopped them from doing this mitzvah either. Because he stopped them from being Ola Regel, that enabled the Romans as well to stop the Jews from doing this mitzvah of bringing wood to the Mizbeach. So what he's interpreting the pasuk to mean, Machrivayich, Mimech Yetzeyu, means what enables the non-Jewish enemy to stop us from doing something positive. What enables them to do harm to us? It's our own misdeeds, our own failures in the past that have weakened us against our enemies as well. Okay, so now moving on, quickly just jump ahead a little bit. Pasuk Aval, the Amart Bil Vaveich, Miyolad Esela, Vani Shula Vigalmuda, Gola Visura, the Ela Migidel, Henaninish Artilavadi, Ela Efohem. The Pasuk seems to be describing how Tzion will express disbelief. Tzion will look at the masses of Jews returning during the time of Shivas Tzion to Eretz Yisrael, to Yerushalayim. And Tzion will say, who gave birth to all of these? Where have they come from? After all, wasn't I so alone, shchula v'gamuda, so bereft, so abandoned? I was gola v'sura. My children were exiled. They had left me. V'eila migidel. Heinaninish art levadi eila efohem. And who raised these? I've been all alone. Where have they come from? Where have they come from? Disbelief being expressed by Tzion at the remarkable return of Klal Yisrael. And perhaps, says Rav Rabinovitz, what this is hinting to is the following. He says, on the one hand, maybe what this is alluding to is that La'asid Lavo, when it comes time for Shivas Tzion, all of the mitzvot we have performed over the centuries, over the millennia, we know that the Sfarim write that when a person does a mitzvah, so a malach is created, a malach who protects us, who stands by our side. We don't see those malachim. We don't recognize necessarily how significant every act that we perform is. But La'asid Lavo, when we come back to Eretz Yisrael and all is going to be revealed and obvious, we'll see these malachim and we'll say, wow, where do they all come from? How did this all happen? We'll be stunned and amazed at the what we've accomplished through our avodas Hashem, even though at times now when we do so, we don't really fully appreciate what we are performing, what we are doing. And he says further, he says, sometimes also, a person works so hard in his chinuch habanim, he tries so hard to get across the right messages and to teach properly his children in the home how to live life like a shomer Torah mitzvos, and a person davens and he does mitzvos in the schus of his children being matzliach, and not always do we foresee ultimately the success that we'll be blessed with if and when we put in a sincere effort. But eventually the time will come when we'll look around like Tzion does here and we'll say, wow, miyolad li esela, where did this all come from? I never would have foreseen this success. Look who's come back. Elam Yigidel, where do these children get raised? I was expressing amazement and wonderment, ultimately, at the success of the Jews that we have then been responsible for. I will just quickly jump ahead. We're going to stop shortly for Mincha at 7:40. The Navi describes in Pasuk Chav Beis, Pasuk Chav Gimel, how the Goyim, when the redemption comes, they will see Kadosh Baruch Hu so clearly, and they will even attempt to bring us, carry us to Eretz Yisrael, to bring us to Eretz Yisrael. And in Pasuk Chav Gimel, even the non-Jewish kings and their princes, their ministers, will wish to assist us with raising our children, feeding our children. They'll bow to us, and everyone will see that Kadosh Baruch Hu is ultimately king over all. Jump ahead briefly to a pasuk or two in the beginning of Perek Nun. Beginning of Perek Nun, where the Navi here describes how Kadosh Baruch Hu says in response to Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael had expressed concern, expressed fear that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has expelled us. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds, Eze Sefer Chrisus Imchem Asher Shelachtia. Where is that bill of divorce indicating that I sent Klal Yisrael away? There is no such thing. On the contrary, and here comes a very interesting Musar. Once again, Pasuk Aleph in Parak Nun, Kadosh Baruch Hu has responded to Klal Yisrael's claims that Kadosh Baruch Hu has driven us out of Eretz Yisrael. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I've never done such thing. On the contrary, the end of the Pasuk, it says, Hein ba'avonoseichem nimkartem. It's your sins that caused you to be sold. B'pish'eichem shulcha imchem. It was your negligence that caused your mother to be expelled. Once again, that theme, that it's you who have been the source and the cause of this suffering and galus. And then Pasuk Beis, Madua basi ve'ein ish. On the contrary, says the Kadosh Baruch Hu, I have come and there's no one there. Karasi ve'ein ona. I've called, there's no answer. Some suggest that this is a reference to a Kadosh Baruch Hu allowing Klal Yisrael's return to Eretz Yisrael in times of Koresh, Melech Paras, Koresh of Persia, when there was permission given and granted for the Jews to go back to Eretz Yisrael. There was a very, very feeble response. There was no mass rush of Klal Yisrael to return back to Eretz Yisrael for the building of Bayis Sheni. So Kadosh Baruch Hu was saying, you're claiming I drove you out. I gave you the opportunity to return. Where were you all? I came. No one was there. I called. No one answered. And if the concern is that, how are we going to manage in Eretz Yisrael? Dangerous, desolate desert. HaKatsar, Katsra, Yadim, Pedus. Am I incapable of rescuing you? Am I unable to save you? In other words, I've come calling, but you haven't taken up the call in response, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Klal Yisrael. And just to conclude with the Gemara's interpretation of that pasuk. Again, this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, I've given you opportunity to return, and yet you haven't seized it. Why not? The Gemara in Brachas on Daf Vav Mei Beis interprets this pasuk a little differently, but perhaps appropriately for right now. B'shasha Kadosh Baruch Hu ba Beis Knesses, and God comes to the Beis Knesses. V'lo matza ba'asara, and there's no 10 people there. Miad hu kois, God gets upset. This pasuk, madu abasi, I've come to shul, ve'ein ish, there's no one there. Karasi, I've called out to you, ve'ein ona, no one responds. So not just going to Eretz Yisrael, making the opportunity available to us, is a Kadosh Baruch Hu complaining that we're not seizing the opportunity. But sometimes even when a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to connect in the Beis Knesses, right, we know that our soul is the Makom HaShechina. That's the place of closest connection. But even while we're in Golus, the place to connect is right here, the Mikdash Ma'at. And Kadosh Baruch Hu comes to the Mikdash Ma'at, he comes to the Beis Knesses, he's available for us to connect with him. But Madu Abasi Ve'ein Ish Karasi Ve'ein Ones. Sometimes we're, even here in the Beis Knesses, not fully there. We're not coming at all. We're not coming wholeheartedly. We're not coming staying focused. We're not coming to answer the call. So Kadosh Baruch Hu was saying, both in terms of Eretz Yisrael, in terms of even while we're in Golus, the opportunities to connect, I'm presenting them. I'm giving them to you. But you have to grab them. You have to want them. You have to take me up on it. And if we don't, then how can we complain to Kadosh Baruch Hu about Golus? If he's giving us the key to Geula, so we must take advantage of it and put it to very good use.